All right, I get to invite more friends to come up on stage now. Dave and Brenda Cox, come on up. Many of you know, if you've been part of our church for any length of time, you're familiar with Battelle. Battelle is a church planting organization. It's also a residential program for men and women who are overcoming addiction. And we met Dave and Brenda, Travis and I met them years and years ago as we would go and visit them. And they are also responding to a call from God to plant Battelle U.S. Yes. They are situated right now in Virginia Beach. I hear getting a green card is real easy, right, Dave? Brenda is actually from Ohio. Dave is originally from the UK. And so I'm going to let them share about the work that they're doing, which is so phenomenal. And then Dave is going to bring us the message this morning. Would you help me in welcoming my friends?
Good morning. I would say good morning, church, but really, most of you all in here, a lot of your faces, you're family to us. And even if we don't know your face, Grace has been a part of the Battelle journey from the beginning of Battelle UK. And I'm going to have a little presentation. And if you've been asleep in the many times that Battelle has been spoken here and you forgot what we are, where our roots are, it'll remind you. But this church has been there from the beginning. And so that's why I say you are family. We came up Friday night, and I had an excitement. Like, I was like, wow. Like, and it felt, in the UK, we were at the north. We were just under Scotland, where the center is that we led. And when we would travel down south to gather as a community, there was that excitement, because it's like, I'm going to be with family. I'm going to be refreshed. I'm going to have fellowship. And that's what it felt like coming up here. And so we just want to say thank you to the pastoral team. I know Mike's not here, but to Mike and Catherine and Bert. And we just thank you guys for welcoming us and for allowing us to take the stage. And I was thinking, just even in the worship, you know, your logo back there, love big, grow deep, go out. And I think your church really embodies that.
Yeah.
You know, you really live by that. We have interactions with many different churches over the years, UK, US. There's not many that really live up to that the way you guys do. Your generosity, in not just finances, but your generosity in your heart and your love for people and your time that you give to people, it's amazing. So, you know, well done, church. Well done, all of you. I'm gonna stop because Dave won't have any time to preach if I carry on. But I'm gonna let Travis roll. We just have a 2-3 minute video here to give a little update.
Battelle began in 1985 on the streets of Madrid. In the past 4 decades, they've seen more than 200,000 men and women come through their doors seeking recovery from addiction and homelessness. Today, Battelle has created an effective, faith-centered, peer-led community within a family-styled environment in more than 100 cities in 20 countries. Battelle's mission is to restore lives that have been broken by drug abuse, alcoholism, and social exclusion, offering their ministry to residents free of charge. Battelle achieves this through a radical model of sustainable, income-generating businesses staffed and run by residents that support the ministry at no cost to the government, social services, or families. Thanks to Battelle, governments around the world save a minimum of $26 million every single year. In 2001, at the age of 20, David Cox came to Battelle UK as an addict intending to stay for only 2 weeks. During those 2 weeks, he encountered Jesus and has now been a part of the ministry for 22 years, helping others find the freedom that he found. Brenda left her home in the U.S. and joined Battelle in 2003 as an intern. They've been married for 17 years and have 3 children. They were ordained as pastors in 2010 and led Battelle UK centers in 2 cities. Now they have a passion to pioneer this innovative model of ministry on U.S. soil within the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. In 2021, nearly 107,000 Americans died from a drug overdose, almost doubling from 62,000 in 2019. 75% of these deaths involved at least one opioid, and almost 72,000 people died from a fentanyl-related overdose alone. Between 2012 and 2015, the U.S. saw a 264% increase in synthetic opioid deaths. The annual economic impact of substance abuse is estimated to be $249 billion for alcohol misuse and $193 billion for illicit drug use. On a statewide level, in the first half of 2020, Virginia saw a 48% rise in overdose deaths. An average of more than four Virginians died of an opioid drug overdose every day in 2020. The overall cost of the epidemic to the state was $3.5 billion. This crisis cuts across socioeconomic, demographic, urban, and rural lines. Battelle USA will be pioneering the first men's residence as well as a business in Hampton Roads. Their goal is to grow the ministry into the same model of sustainable, income-generating businesses as Battelle has done all over the world. In order to do this, they'll need funds to acquire land and a large property, capital to support the initial stages of the ministry, as well as single men who will serve as missionaries living alongside the male residents. Battelle USA is committed to expanding centers across the United States to offer hope and a future to America's neediest individuals. Addiction inevitably leads to less hope and greater despair, trends that don't shift overnight. Battelle has impacted the lives of thousands across the globe. Battelle USA can have that same impact on the lives of people within the local and national community. Stand with us to support Battelle USA and be a part of this vital and lasting change. We can't do it on our own. To donate and partner with us, visit battelleusa.org.
There's a lot of statistics thrown out in that video, and if you want to go to my first slide, Travis, you know, there's a massive problem in the U.S., and I don't think any of us can deny that. You just have to, like, look, and it's more and more over the years as we've been away, or as I've been away from the U.S., every time we'd come home and visit, you would just see more and more the problem that it's becoming. And 107,480, it was 294 deaths a day. Like, I thought to look up, I don't even know during the pandemic, you know, what the daily death rate was, but that's pretty high. That's shocking. You know, and for us, we're like, this is a huge problem that we want to tackle. And it's like our sister this morning, it's a big problem. And sometimes we can get frightened by big problems and we think, what can I do? But, you know, we just want to, we're just here, we're in obedience. If you go to the next slide, you know, as a family, you know, it shows, you know, we've been a part of the Battelle ministry for so long, but really this desire to come to the U.S. soil has been something that's been in us for the last 10 years. We were asked about 10 years ago if we would be willing to come to the U.S. when the time was right to pioneer Battelle USA, and our heart was yes. And so we've been holding on to that for a good 10 years. Last August, we were released. We were commissioned and sent out by Kent and Mary Alice, who I'm sure many of you know, and the team in the UK. They sent us out, and we call it our Abraham journey. You know, out of Genesis 12:1, where God said, "Go to the land that I will show you." And He didn't give a lot of details to Abraham, but it says Abraham went. He packed up his family and he went. And so we didn't have a lot of details. God just said, "It's time to go." And so we packed up and we arrived last August. And I could take up the whole service and tell you all the amazing ways that God provided for us in that journey. Quite literally, we came with our bags and a few boxes, and by time we went to Ohio, and by time we traveled down to move into our house in Virginia Beach, we had a U-Haul full of everything that we needed for our house. So God has just been providing, and we know, like, right now we are just laying the foundations. You can go to the next slide. We're just laying the foundations for Battelle US. It's in seed form, and, you know, so we have needs for capital. We are fundraising so that we can purchase a property, and then obviously we're still looking for property in Virginia Beach, and, you know, just looking through these things, we need some good, strong, vibrant young men who have a passionate heart for the Lord that want to serve the needy, that would come alongside us and help us start that first men's residence. And that would look like, you know, maybe going and spending 3 months in the UK to experience a thriving Battelle community and then come back and help us. So those are some of our needs. And then just things like today, having the opportunity to share the vision of what we have. But it's all seed. You know, and what you guys know of Battelle, what you've seen over the last 25 years, and I know you've just sent out Evan and Cambry from here. So, like, you guys know, and you can see, you guys know what Battelle can become. And right now, we're here, we're just seeds. We're just laying the foundations. We're getting the legalities set up. We're getting the practical things set up, policies and all those boring stuff, like meeting with lawyers and meeting with accountants. And Dave's been doing a great job doing some gardening work or landscaping work with some local businessmen to learn how that's going to work here. And so that's what we're doing. But you guys are a part of that. You know, like, you guys have been a part of that from day one. And we hope that you will continue with your prayers. We are excited. You know, we love the prayer team. We have experienced your benefit, like the benefit of seeing you guys for so many years in our lives. We can't wait for when you have two prayer teams. You know, when you're going to the UK, don't ever stop going to the UK, but when you're going to the UK, but then when you're coming to Virginia Beach, because we love it. So you can skip that, go through that. I'm going to take up too much of Dave's time. We've got some information about the internship. If you want, if that's touched your heart, or if you can think of somebody that you know that you think might be a good candidate for that, we've got some flyers out at the information booth at the back with some other leaflets, so you can go ahead and pick that up. And then lastly, if you want more information, you can go to our website to see us and just hear more about it. And I'm not going to ramble on too much more so that Dave can speak. But I can't say it enough how grateful we are for this body in front of us. So, and yeah.
Yep. I don't need that. Yeah, I love coming to Harrisonburg. You're not meant to, I don't know, say something to that. But, you know, first time I came to Harrisonburg was 2005, the year me and Brenda got married. And I stayed at Merlin Sue's in the basement with a friend. I've actually stayed in Merlin Sue's twice in the basement. I don't think I've ever made it to the ground floor, but they've welcomed me there. So I'm grateful. If they're in the room, and I know it's a joke, you know, I'm a big advocate for Harrisonburg. I have great friends here. The Whoosh team's here, Grace Covenant's here, golfing friends are here, soon to be shooting, hunting friends when I get my green card, because I'm allowed a gun, but I'm not allowed to vote or access Medicaid, but I can get a gun. So I may as well use it wisely. It's just the laws of America. Crazy, you know? But I don't mind a gun, you know. I also, just an advocate, I just had a revelation that we should have dogs in church. I was in worship. It was great worship, by the way. And I looked down, there's all this food in front of me, the peanuts or something. I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great if you just had dogs just to come and hoover it up? Then a guy like Quentin didn't have to come and say hello on his knees picking up all his food. When all we need is two dogs of service. Just clear it up. Let them roam freely. Clear it up. You know, especially if you've got kids. It will save parents a lot of hassle. And if you're allergic to dogs, just take some satyricin before you come just to get over any allergies so you're not scratching or doing crazy stuff in the corner. Just put it out there, you know. Just happened today to realize that after all this time, I've been a parent trying not to be a hindrance to somebody else because my kids have thrown biscuits around the room, because my kids have done that. But yeah, what a great to hear you guys. Amazing to hear of that ministry of help stop the trafficking, give young women a life, a future, a hope, a destiny. I think that was amazing to hear that this morning, and your vision to pioneer very similar to us, really. We had the figure of 2 million. You've got 1 million, we've got 200,000, so you're doing a lot better than us. So there you go. clearly, we need to learn from you, you know? But yeah, you know, Battelle USA was literally ignited here in this church over a year ago. In 2 years, was it? 2 years? She knows the stats better than me. When we sat and we discussed it upstairs with the agreement that we come because we've got children, we've got family, and we came. And God's orchestrated so much already, and it's key that God is still the architect until we die, basically, leave it to the next generation, etc. So we're grateful to be here. Now, I have 15 minutes to condense a 50-minute message. But we will do this well. If you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, we're going to read from verses 1 to 6, and then we're going to skip to 31 to 42. And I just want to give us a little encouragement with this today, if you don't mind. The title of my message will be called One Sows and Another Reap. Any farmers here today? See, there's just a few farmers here. Wow. Yeah, and so, yeah, you're going to appreciate this message because you know what sowing and reaping is truly all about. And I guess in the economic world, speculate to accumulate, it's the same thing. We've got to throw out to accumulate and bring back in. So it can work both ways. However, let's read some scripture, shall we? Actually, let's pray first. That'd be better, wouldn't it? Lord, I just pray blessing over this house and everything we've heard. Ultimately, we just want to see the captives set free. We want to see lives changed, transformed, turned around. We want to see the glory of your name exalted high, like Catherine spoke about, you know, that covering over this valley of praise and worship. And God, we just want to see it go out and love big and go out. We pray we would do. And for the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And he had passed through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, therefore, yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that in he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this word is indeed that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Isn't that an amazing story? I hope you are pleased with me that I'm preaching today. I, in my dedication to move to America, I got myself a new American Standard Bible. So I've converted from the NIV to the New American Standard Version. So I'm reading your translation as well. And I'm slowly sounding like you as well. So a lot is changing in my life, not just the demographics. But yeah, the stage is set. The props are on the stage here where Jesus arrives at the well of Jacob in verse 5. The plot of land which Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jesus has just had this life-changing conversation with this Samaritan woman, this lonely woman, this destitute woman at the well by herself at the sixth hour, whose encounter with Jesus starts to stir and awaken a city called Sychar. I think in Hebrew they say Sychar, something like that anyway. But I've never studied Hebrew. I just heard it on YouTube. So there you go. In which droves of people started coming out to Jesus for themselves, not just because of the account of the lady. It's amazing that one lady account can do so much. One frail, lonely, destitute, marginalized lady can do so much. Can do so much. However, the disciples were sent into Sychar to get food and were returning. They did not, let me tell you, if we understand, if we've even watched The Chosen to give us a visual, they don't really want to go to Samaria, and they definitely don't want to go to this town. We will learn about this town to get food. But Jesus gave the order, so they went obediently. And they were returning to learn probably the most valuable lesson they can. I think it's fair to say as well, when we read the text, I'm sorry that I skipped out a large portion of the text, but I did not want to focus on the lady alone, or we know that that is truly an amazing story. They were totally unprepared, but they had to go with the flow and see where it takes them. Because revival in this city is starting to break out. This city, Sychar, has its place in biblical history. Some scholars argue or hint that Sychar and Shechem are the same place, if not the same place, the same region. Any scholars out there? Hopefully you agree that I'm right. If I'm wrong, just find a corner and tell me that I'm wrong later. But Shechem was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. It's where the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And then it actually says he went on to, the Lord said to him afterwards, go on to Bethel, which is quite unique. It's where we, Spanish for Bethel, but you know, and we say Bethel. Generations later, Jacob arrives at Shechem after meeting his brother Esau and camped before the city. And purchased the piece of land where he pitched his tents and erected an altar and called it El Ohi Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. Amazing. Same region, same land. But sadly, after that, we read in Genesis 32, I believe it is. For some reason, I forgot to write it down. But this is the place, we know our Bibles, where Jacob's daughter Dinah sadly was defiled and raped, and more blood was spilt because it's the same place where Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, got revenge. We know the story. And Sychar, as we take that name, it's no wonder why in the Hebrew this This word is translated to be liar or drunkard, or basically a place with a terrible reputation. Don't go there. It's a terrible place. In fact, people of Israel would treat it with such contempt. The Jews would treat it with such contempt. So the reputation precedes it to this day. But on this day, in this biblical history, Jesus encounters this city. He encounters this woman, not only to redeem this woman, but the city also. I think it's a fascinating story that John records. And when we just dig a little bit deeper, Jesus does so much more with just one woman. That the men and women of the city start coming out to meet this Jesus. So can I say to somebody today, do not underestimate your voice or your testimony of your personal encounter. Remember, the lady at the well did not say to everyone, well, it's obvious who I am dressed like this, or why I'm there doing that by myself, or simply the fact that, you know, it's pretty honest to have an opinion about me because I've got a terrible reputation. No, She simply said to them all, it's counted here, he told me everything about me. You have to believe him and go yourselves. There's only so much we can do for people. We can only point them to Jesus. Go yourself. Encounter him yourself. Don't underestimate your voice or testimony of your personal encounter with Jesus. And so when we go to the story of Jesus encountering the disciples, you know, Jesus uses this economical or farming practical truth to hammer home the privilege we, the church or body of Christ, should embrace more so now than ever. If we want to see nations change, cities change, towns change, and villages change. You know, with the phrase, we know he is the savior of the world. When it comes to reaping and sowing, I think if we did a survey today, we can ask the farmers later, which role would you prefer? Sowing or reaping? Who would prefer reaping? Oh, be honest now. Don't be so spiritual about it. You ain't that good. I'm sure you are. You know, because let's face it, on face value, sowing just seems a lot of work. No reward. Less reward. Less recognition. But reaping the benefits, wow, is more rewarding. It just seems less work. Why do I want to toil the ground when I can just have whatever's on top? But the truth is, the journey of the one sows and another reap, it's also very different for all of us. Now, Jesus reminds his disciples in verse 8, I've sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Isn't that an amazing privilege? I mean, for them, the disciples, you know, Jesus is probably giving them the hint that actually, you've arrived at this time of time in history where all the prophets have talked about and pointed to. And it's your privilege. You are in the reaping stages of what they have toiled, the sacrifice they've made, all them people before you. And if you get that, that is in free, humbling, exciting, and overwhelming. If you can have all three at the same time, I don't know how you should feel. But I want to make two points as my time is coming 3 minutes to closing. I hope I'm doing well. Number one, I've only got two, so it's great. One 90 seconds each. For some of us today, it's all about, and it needs to be about accepting where we are at right now. Let's just take the pressure off, even for ourselves. It's just about taking the pressure of where we are, accepting where we are right now. And it's hard. Sowing is hard. It's really hard. Pioneering, whatever it will be, is hard. And if I'm speaking to anyone today, I know you're probably frustrated. You're not where you want to be. You might even be dejected. You might even be jaded. You might be tired. For it seems like nothing is becoming of what and why I am even doing this. And it's easy to look elsewhere and some just seem to have it so much easier. Or they seem to have so much favor right now. And here I am with not much recognition. Might be you. And this can be in the workplace, wherever you work, wherever you are, the schools, the businesses, the ministry, and or elsewhere, you name it. You put a name on it, you know. But the problem with this is the danger of negative comparison. The problem with this is the danger of negative comparison. Because negative comparisons will lead to inefficiencies and neglect for what God has called you to do, in which we, please, need to repent quickly for. You know, Spurgeon, you know, the famous Victorian preacher from London, Spurgeon, says, "For no man or woman can carry the double burden of his own or her own guilt and the service of God at the same time." That cannot be. So please, today, Jesus called out and said, didn't he, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So please, let us remember the goodness of God and why God has called us to do it. You know, if you've been to Hexham, you would know that there's Christmas trees there. And we planted them 10 years ago. We had a field to do something with, or it just becomes weeds. So I decided, I had it kind of initiated that we're going to grow trees there. We planted nearly 3,500 trees. And it's a slow growth, Christmas trees. Well, the cheap trees grow quickly. But the good trees grow slowly. And that's what everyone wants, where they don't get spiked by these, you know, firs. But we've got a Norman fir. They're the best Christmas tree because they hold the needles. And everyone will say, have your trees grown yet? Have your trees? No, they take time. And I used to say to people, I'm not really going to see the blessing of this for this center. It's for those later on at Christmas when finances drop. This is guaranteed income for them. And I got to see the first cut where we sold nearly 100 trees of our own. So now it's a slow transition. So we need to understand that process. What we are doing is going to be a blessing beyond us. So number two, for some today, it might just be the simple, constant reflection for what shoulders and whom shoulders we actually do sit or stand on. It was Jesus who reminded the disciples of those who have went before them. But what I am not saying, because Jesus said, others have labored and you have entered into their labor. You've entered at the right point of time, right now. What I'm not saying is you haven't paid any kind of cost along the way, because I'm sure you have. God has called you to reap the harvest with which God called what, if it's just one or many into. Let me just say, please keep doing it. Please keep doing it the best you can and keep going until God says otherwise. Because it's a huge responsibility, farmers would tell you, to reap at the right time. You need to know the time. You need to know when it's time. If it's a church, if it's, let's face it, new leadership here today, if it's church congregation, booming time, praise the Lord. Numbers increase, revival breaks out, praise God, go with it. Whatever God does, go with it. Whatever the increase, if it's your bank balance in your season at home and it increases, praise God. If it's your influence in any way, shape, or form increases, praise God. Reap it, and reap it, and reap it. Maximize it. Because that's what the disciples had to do. Revival was breaking out. You just got to do what you got to do. But if it's about constant reflection, let us keep honoring till the end. Those we need to honor. Let's verbally say it. Honor till the end. Let's physically do it. Honor till the end. Even today may be a good day to find a new way to appreciate God and what God has done in your life. And it might be a new way to, or find a way to sow back into somebody who's sown into you. We need to appreciate those who have gone before us. Because Jesus made it clear that he who sows and he who reaps rejoice together. And if we're not rejoicing together, there's something wrong. Amen. Catherine, please, I'll pass it over, back over to you. Thank you very much. Be blessed. And if you're in one of those two categories, I'm sure that's a ministry time for us to
meet. Yeah, ministry team. Ministry team, if you guys could go ahead and make your way forward. Everybody, if you can go ahead and stand to your feet as we pray and close. Dave and Brenda have more information out at the information table. They'd also love to talk to every single one of you today. If it is on your heart to give to them, they're also part of our drop-down menu on our page for giving. Whatever it was that resonated in you today, I invite you to come forward. Get someone to pray with you, agree with you, hold that space for you. God, I thank you. We thank you, God, for those who have come before us. We thank you for the ones who sowed into our lives. We thank you for the ones who prayed for us. We thank you for the Sunday school teachers, and we thank you for the Young Life leaders. We thank you for the friends, the coworkers, the people that walked with us. We honor them, God. We ask, would you pour yourself out on them today? Bless them. God, and we accept where we're at right here today. And we acknowledge that you have a plan and you have a purpose for today, for our lives, for what we have in our hands. Would you help us to be faithful? We love you and we honor you. I speak blessing over each of you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come forward and receive ministry. I invite you to have a great Sunday afternoon. Love you guys. I'll see you next week.